Let's join together in prayer. Father, thank you so much for all of your blessings as we look back on this past year. Thank you for being present in every single moment when life took some unexpected twists and turns. You were never taken by surprise. God, thank you for being such a steady rock, holding on to us, even at times when maybe we weren't holding on to you. And God, I thank you and praise you for the beginning of a brand new year. Because God, you have woven into the fabric of creation new beginnings. Today we're celebrating the beginning of a brand new year. We're given brand new pages, clean pages upon which to write the story of our lives. And God, even every day the sun comes up and it begins a brand new day and a new opportunity to write the story of our life that day. Every week begins a brand new week, and every month a brand new month, and then yes, as we celebrate today, the beginning of a brand new year. God, it's as if you really want to impress upon us this message of new beginnings, that we can begin brand new today. God, thank you for such opportunities. And God, as we begin this new year, we confess our dependence upon you. God, we desperately need you to guide us, to direct us this year, to lead us, Lord, to experience the abundant life that you have planned for us. We commit ourselves to follow wherever you lead, knowing that the life of obedience is the life that is truly blessed. And God, when we make mistakes, when we fail, when we deliberately, intentionally choose to disobey, God, you've made it possible for us to come back and be renewed, to begin again, to be made brand new. So we praise you and thank you for this new beginning represented in this first day of a brand new year. Lord, as we write the story of our lives this year, my prayer is that your story is interwoven in every day's story that we record. To your praise and honor and glory, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Welcome to 2017. And for many people, the beginning of a new year brings New Year's resolutions. Many of those New Year's resolutions usually have to do with, well, I'm going to try and live a healthier life in this new year. And so I'm certainly, starting today, beginning a new year, going to make those kind of resolutions to try and live a little bit healthier lifestyle in 2017. My goal this year is to resume running again, try and get some of these excess holiday pounds off and resume running again. Hopefully we'll eat a little bit healthier. I'm not so presumptuous, though, as to just say I'm going to probably give up Mountain Dew for good. Now, maybe for a short period we might be able to pull that off, but I'll not ask you to raise your hands if you're making some New Year's resolutions today as we begin a brand new year. But it's interesting how the beginning of a new year brings renewed hope and optimism that this year can be better. This hope that, you know what, this year I'm going to live healthier and I'm going to be happier. This is going to be a better year for me. I'm going to make better choices this year to live healthier and to be happier. And that's a good thing. Now, I also recognize that sometimes those New Year's resolutions, particularly the ones that have to do with our health and eating healthier and exercise, that usually a lot of those are gone by February the 1st. We've already given up on those. But But, you know, in addition to those resolutions about our physical health, we need to give attention to our spiritual health as we begin this brand new year. And so on the first day of a brand new year, I want to take a few minutes to kind of look back over this past year and celebrate what God has accomplished. And then we'll take a few moments to kind of look at what God wants done in this new year and to see some opportunities for growth. Now, originally, today's message was going to be kind of a state of the church address, and it would have been a one and done, you know, just one message, and then we were going to move on to a new series on the names of God called Awesome God. But as I started kind of developing this, it just grew. And so rather than keep you 3 hours today, I thought it would be better to spread it out over the month of January. I thought you might appreciate that. And so today we will introduce some God-given imperatives for our church to be healthy in this new year. And over the next 4 weeks, then, we'll examine each of those imperatives in a little bit more detail. Now, again, I know in my Hotline article I talked about the Awesome God series. We'll just postpone that. We'll begin that series in February. But I think it's important that we begin the year looking at some of these imperatives from God's Word for our church to be healthy in this new year. Now, as we turn the page today, not just on the calendar, but we're also turning the page in our lives. And it's a brand new page. It is a clean page. Nothing's been written much so far. I'm off to a good start so far in 2017. I like what Mike said at the end of the early service this morning. He said, "You all have perfect attendance for the year." So you're off to a good start. We don't know what tomorrow will bring because tomorrow is kind of shrouded in mystery. But what we do know is that as we begin a brand new year, it is a new opportunity to write on clean pages this story of our lives. What will 2017 record in the life of First Baptist Church? What will 2017 record in the story of your life? Well, I want us to begin this morning by celebrating what God has done and take a quick look back over 2016. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3 says, "I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak His praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt His name together." So let's begin celebrating what God has done this past year in the life of our church. And just a reminder that we are boasting in Him. We're not puffing our chest and pounding our chest about what we have accomplished. But I think it's important and biblical and necessary to take this opportunity to celebrate what God has done. So let's rejoice and magnify the Lord that in 2016 we added 23 new members to our church family and we celebrated 17 baptisms. That's a praise the Lord. That's right. In 2016, we averaged 181 people engaged in Bible study through Sunday school. And we averaged 237 people averaging attendance in worship. We're going to have to raise that a little bit next week. We're not quite there today. Praise the Lord, we paid off our debt in 2016. We are debt free. Glory to God, we're using the main level of our new addition. We're almost completely done with that. We still have a few things we're working on, but we're utilizing that space. We actually have two Sunday school classes that are meeting on a regular basis on the main level of our new addition. In 2016, we were able to host our all-church Thanksgiving meal in our new addition. And that was a great celebration. And being able to do that here was a tremendous blessing. We were also able to host the Christmas food distribution. It didn't quite go according to plan because of the ice that weekend, but we still hosted that, ministered to a number of families through the community in our new addition. Praise the Lord for the numerous Bible study groups that meet not just on Sunday morning at 9:15, but throughout the week. Most of those groups are not groups that we sat down as staff and go, you know, we need to create some new Bible study groups. Who can we get to lead a group? When can they meet? No. Most of those extra Bible study groups kind of originated because God put it on the heart of someone who says, you know, we need to do a Bible study. And they gathered people together to study God's Word. And we've got numerous groups that meet throughout the week studying God's Word. On Wednesday nights, we have people involved in adult choir. We have children learning about missions. We have youth engaged in worship. And we have several groups of adults who are involved in Bible study and prayer. Praise the Lord for how He is using those Bible study groups to help us grow to be more and more like Jesus. And even though 2016 we struggled some financially, we did not meet our budget. At least I don't think we did. I mean, I don't have December's numbers. But we were about $16,000 below our budget. I don't think we'll make that up in December. But praise the Lord, at the end of November, our actual receipts were sufficient to pay all of the bills. And I'm confident that December's giving will also be sufficient to be able to pay all of the bills. Praise the Lord for that. And even though our giving has struggled some in 2016, I want to share with you that I received a letter the previous week from the Missouri Baptist Convention letting us know that our church ranked 50th in giving to the Missouri Baptist Convention through the cooperative program. Now, that's a very impressive accomplishment given the fact there are over 600 Missouri Baptist churches. And out of over 600 of those, we were the 50th highest in terms of our giving to the cooperative program. When you give your tithes and offerings to our church budget, 10% of our budget is contributed to the cooperative program. So we send that check to the Missouri Baptist Convention, and they'll keep about 65% of that, and the rest they send to the Southern Baptist Convention. The two largest recipients of the Southern Baptist Convention budget would be the North American Mission Board and the International Mission Board. And so I want to say praise the Lord for your faithfulness in giving. And even though we struggled at points in 2016, that's a tremendous blessing to be ranked 50th in terms of our cooperative program giving. We also exceeded our offering goals for each of our special mission offerings. So in the spring, we exceeded our goal for the Annie Armstrong offering for North American missions. We exceeded our goal for our state mission offering in September. And praise the Lord, we exceeded our goal for the Lottie Moon offering in December for international missions. You may have seen the slide this morning. Our goal was $11,000. We have received over $13,000 so far to date. So praise the Lord for His work and for your generosity, because your faithfulness in giving not only to our budget makes ministry possible here, but it makes ministry possible through the cooperative program in our state and around the world. Your giving to the mission offerings helps to spread the gospel all around the world. Praise the Lord that 21 families were ministered to at Christmas through our church family, and that only counts the ones I know about. That doesn't include the ones that God may have put on your heart as an individual, and you thought, you know what, this family could use some help. I'm just going to help them. Or as a class, maybe you did something that didn't even tell me. 21 is probably not near the total, but I do know of 21. I can document 21 families who were blessed at Christmas because of your generosity. God used you. Yeah, that's worth celebrating. God used you to bless those families so children had some presents to open on Christmas because you let God use you to minister in that way. Praise God for the growth of our children's mission groups and for children's choir. What a joy when the children presented their Christmas musical presentation in our new addition with a much larger stage area than we have in here. And those kids filled up that space, didn't they? Did a wonderful job. What a joy when they were singing in worship here on Sunday mornings. And just to see the joy in their faces as they sang those Christmas songs. Praise the Lord for the gifted singers who use their gifts and lead us in worship through our adult choir and for their Christmas cantata. Praise the Lord for Dennis and his leadership of our choir. Praise the Lord for Mike and his ministry with our students. If Mike's a little tired, some of our students look like they're nodding off this morning. I'm going to cut them a little slack because they were up late last night ringing in the new year. But praise the Lord for what God is doing in our student ministry. Praise the Lord for the Advent devotions that Mike coordinated. Have had lots of comments from you about how much of a blessing that has been reading through those Advent devotions that you have written. I enjoyed reading through those devotions during this Advent season. Praise the Lord for the opportunity I had this past year to make two trips to Mexico to work with our partner church there. Praise the Lord for professions of faith that were made through the ministry of the church there. Pray for continued follow-up and growth of the church in Mexico. Praise the Lord that He's putting it on the hearts of some of our members to make a trip in August as we go back to Mexico and work with the church there to help create Bible study groups and distribute God's Word and share the gospel. Praise the Lord for the continued growth of our Hispanic partner church in Independence. They're averaging about 47 in worship, and that's tremendous. Praise the Lord for the growth that's taking place there. Praise God for the great things that He has done in 2016. As we look back over the past year, we certainly have much to celebrate and to praise God for, but we also have some opportunities ahead of us in 2017. Past accomplishments are just that. They're past. We want to dwell on what's been done in the past. We want to celebrate that. We build upon that. But we want to keep our focus upon the future. And what does God want us to do in 2017? What choices do we need to make this year in order to be a healthier church family? Well, in December, part of my daily Bible reading, as I was reading through the Bible again, I was in the book of Zechariah. That's not one we're most frequently accustomed to going to. And one of the verses in that day's reading was chapter 11, verse 16. And that verse really spoke to me. And so the message today and really this series is kind of an expansion of that morning's devotional reflections and thoughts. And in that passage, God is saying through the prophet that because His people are so rebellious, that He's going to give them a worthless shepherd who will not do certain things and really is going to just use them to His own advantage. That's kind of the context of this verse. But if you take out the negative, if you remove the word not, what you really discover is here are some four imperatives that God's given to us about what we need to accomplish in 2017. And so this is kind of a pastoral look at Zechariah 11:16. It is a pastoral picture of what God wants our church to do in 2017. So here in the prophet Zechariah chapter 11 verse 16 we read, "I am about to raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are going astray, and he will not seek the lost or heal the broken. He will not sustain the healthy, but he will devour the flesh of the fat sheep and tear off their hooves. Revealed here are four imperatives of what God wants done this year so that our church can be healthy. First of all, in 2017, we must care for the wayward. We must care about those, as Zechariah says, who are going astray. Following his resurrection, Jesus tells the apostle Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The very first imperative for a healthy year for our church is to tenderly care for those who are going astray. Notice in our text from Zechariah, the prophet says we are to care for those going astray. They need our love and understanding, not our condemnation because they've not been attending. A little different approach. Rather than say, if Carl had not been attending church and I see him out and I say, "Carl, you no good. What in the world are you up to? Why don't you get your act together? You get back in church where you belong. What's the matter with you? Can't you get anything?" Well, that's probably not going to win many people back to church, is it? Zechariah says we are to care for those who are going astray. What they need is our love and understanding. And I was certainly convicted as I read these words from the prophet, and I thought about the number of church members who've just stopped attending, and they're no longer meaningfully connected to the life of our church. Part of that conviction of that is realizing I've not done enough to try and reconnect them. Lots of reasons for that. Sometimes we really don't want to hear why they stopped attending because they might say, "It's you, preacher." And I recognize there are a variety of reasons why people stop attending. One of those being the preacher. That I've let them down, I've disappointed them, I've offended them, I've done something that has created this difficulty for them to come. So we'll try to correct that. Sometimes it's because the church has disappointed them or let them down or not ministered to them in a way that they expected. Maybe their expectations were not met and they got disillusioned or whatever, and so they just quit coming because the church as a whole let them down. Sometimes people get disconnected and go astray because they're making choices that are taking them further and further away from where God wants them to be. And because they are making some choices that God would not be pleased with, they're not comfortable in the company of God's people and hearing God's word because that might convict them to correct what's wrong, to repent of that sin and be restored. But regardless of their reason for no longer attending, we must seek to reach out to them, seek to restore them and reconnect them to the life of our church. We need to do what we can as far as it depends on us. And I recognize that sometimes we can do everything within our power to re-engage people and they still will choose not to be meaningfully connected. But we need to make sure that we do what we must, as far as it depends on us, to help them get back involved in the life of our church and to be growing in their walk with Christ. Now, next Sunday, when we look at this imperative in more detail, I'll share a little bit more about what God's put on my heart, about what I need to do concerning this ministry imperative. But I would say, as members of the body of Christ, what does God want you to do to fulfill this ministry imperative? Are there friends that you know who once were actively involved, but now they've kind of drifted away. Maybe God's putting those individuals on your heart to just talk to them, to say, you know, what's happened? Have we dropped the ball? Have we failed? What have we done? What can we do to make things right? How can I help you get reconnected? Sunday school teachers and classes, have we actively sought those who used to attend but now are no longer present in our midst? What do we need to do to try and reconnect people to the life of our church? The second thing God wants done in 2017 is to seek the lost. As a church, we have to fight against the natural tendency to become inwardly focused. I've got a video I'll probably show you when we get to that week about me church. Because the natural tendency is to just drift toward this inward focus so that church becomes all about me. All about what I want, or all about us, all about what we want. And we lose sight of the fact that, no, God has placed us here for them. For those who aren't here. For those in our community who need to hear the good news of God coming in Christ, whose birth we celebrated. We must never lose sight of the fact that God has called us to be on mission with Him. And His mission is to seek and to save the lost. That's what Jesus said in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Jesus was sent by God into our world for this very reason, so that He might seek and save lost sinners. Now, all of those who have been rescued, all of those who have been saved, are now involved in the same mission. We're all to be engaged in this rescue mission. Jesus said in John 17:18, "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." So Jesus is sending those He has saved, those He has rescued, to go out and be a part of the rescue mission. This is not an approach to evangelism that says, "Come and see." We cannot adopt the attitude that says, well, our doors are open. We didn't lock the doors when we came in. Anybody's welcome to come. If they want to hear about Jesus, all they got to do is walk through the door. Amen. And that's true. Amen. But it's not enough. To be sent, to be on mission, means go and tell, not come and see. To seek means that we must take the initiative to go to those without Christ and to share with them the good news of salvation. The burden is on us to seek them out, to engage them in conversation, to establish relationships with them, to be able to share Christ with them. Seeking requires intentionality. So as you go about your day, it is intentionally looking for opportunities to share with that coworker, to share with that classmate, to share with that friend. Now I want to encourage you to sharpen your skills in sharing the gospel by attending a new discipleship training class that begins Sunday night, January 15th at 6 p.m. This class is going to be led by Linda Smith. It features Pastor Andy Stanley, which is one of the largest churches in the convention out of Georgia. That's, Charles Stanley's son. It's a video series, so for six sessions, Andy Stanley will be telling us about going fishing because of what's on the line. God wants us to intentionally seek the lost. Our mission is to go and tell. Our mission includes our community and surrounding communities. but it's not limited just to Higginsville and surrounding communities. Our mission is to seek the lost in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost ends of the earth. Mexico and Asia are included in our mission. We are to seek the lost. The third thing God wants done in 2017 to be healthier is to heal the broken. Because let's be honest, life is hard. And it can be filled with hardship and loss. People are broken. We're all broken. And that brokenness expresses itself in different ways. Sometimes that brokenness is expressed through deadly addictions. Sometimes that brokenness is expressed through hateful and hurtful attitudes and actions towards others. Sometimes that brokenness is concealed so deep within that no one can get close. They don't let anyone draw near because they're afraid they'll discover how broken they are. And so they live in isolation, broken. And the reality is we're all broken. That's why Jesus came, so that He could restore us, so that He could renew us, so that He could heal the brokenness that we've experienced. God wants His church to be a community of healing for life's brokenness. Psalm 147 verse 3 says of God that He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The church is a community of redeemed people. Now, redeemed people does not mean perfect people. To say we are a community of redeemed people really means we are a community of people who've been broken and have found in Jesus healing, hope, help. And because we have experienced that from Jesus, we want to provide that to others. We're not perfect, but we're to be growing more and more like Jesus, and Jesus healed the brokenhearted, bandaging their wounds. And this is an area, honestly, that I feel like you do a wonderful job. Now, is there room for improvement? Yes, absolutely. We can do better. But I'm always amazed and impressed that when tragedy or death comes to a member of our church family, I have seen you respond over and over and over again with loving compassion and tenderness. It is not uncommon when death comes and I go to make a visit that I encounter one of you already there. Or you might come while I'm there. Certainly you come after I've gone. And as I kind of follow up with the family to hear about how you have expressed love and concern to them in that time of need. And so I want to thank you for your ministry. Now, can we be better? Yes. Have we dropped the ball on some and not been there? Yes. But I just want to commend you and say thank you for how you express God's love and compassion during those times of need. Let's make sure that we are a healing community for those who've been broken by life. We're a hospital for those who need to come and find healing for life's hardships. And then finally, God wants us to sustain the healthy in 2017. Now, in order to stay healthy in this new year, or maybe for some of us to get healthy in this new year, there are a couple of things that are required. You're not going to like me saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you want to get healthy or be healthy in this new year, you're going to have to eat a well-balanced diet. And a well-balanced diet is defined not from these four major food groups of chocolate, candy, soda. That's not a well-balanced diet. I mean, if you're serious about getting healthy, you're going to have to make some choices about the kinds of food you put into your body. Okay? That's just the reality. Now, the other thing that is an important ingredient in terms of your physical health in the new year, and I hate to say this word because for some, this is like a swear word. It's the word exercise. Right, Amy? Am I not right? I mean, if you want to be healthy in the new year, you're going to have to add to your well-balanced diet some exercise. Now, the same is true spiritually as well. If you want to be healthier in 2017, you're going to have to make some choices. And you've got to make sure that you're getting a well-balanced diet of God's Word. So today is January the 1st. You've got perfect attendance. Just keep that streak going. Make a commitment. Here's a choice that you can make that will help you to be healthier spiritually, and that's a steady diet of God's Word. So make a commitment to be engaged and involved in one of our small group Bible studies that meet on Sunday morning at 9:15. Make the commitment to read God's Word every day. Many of you have taken the challenge to read through the Bible in an entire year. I would encourage you to make that commitment again for this year. If you've never done that, I would encourage you to make that commitment. We have a reading plan that we put out in the hotline. You can follow that one if you want. You can use YouVersion online if you want to read yours online. I've been doing that for the last 5 years. But I would encourage you to read God's Word every day. If you can't read through the entire Bible, that's okay. Just make sure you read a portion of God's Word every day. Why? Because if you want to be healthy, you need a well-balanced diet of God's Word. So read God's Word every day. And do what God's Word says for that day. I would encourage you to make the commitment to be in worship regularly. Now, I'm older, and so I feel compelled to define what I mean by the word regular. Because I recognize in my conversations with younger adults, we have a difference of opinion regarding the word regular. Here's mine. Regular means every week. Okay? In my conversations with others, I've come to realize that for some, regular means, you know, if I come once every 3 months, I'm regular. I'm just going to tell you up front on January the 1st, that's not regular in my book, okay? And if you want to be healthier spiritually this year, then today you just make this commitment and says, you know what? I'm going to be in worship every week. Now, I understand we get sick and we might not be there. And people take vacations. Well, I want to encourage that. I'm not saying it's not like you'll never miss. But what I'm saying is if you want to be healthier this year, here's a great choice to make sure you're getting a well-balanced diet of God's Word. Be involved in a small group Bible study every Sunday. Be in worship every Sunday. Read God's Word every day. Now, we also need to combine that with some exercise spiritually. So you need to be involved in ministry. You need to be using the gifts and the abilities God has given you. And we did a whole series on that at the end of this last year. So use the gifts and abilities God has given you to be serving Him through the life of our church. That's how you exercise those spiritual muscles. Get involved in ministry and sustain your spiritual strength and health. 2 Peter 3:18 encourages us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. God wants us to sustain the healthy in this new year. We can't overlook the healthy while we're trying to, you know, care for the wayward and heal those who are broken and seeking those who are lost. We must also give attention to providing sustenance to the healthy. So here are four imperatives God wants done this year in and through our church so that we can be healthy in 2017. We're to care for the wayward, we're to seek the lost, we are to heal the broken, and we are to sustain the healthy. I mentioned at the beginning, as a point of celebration, our average Sunday school attendance of 181 and our average worship attendance of 237. And while we can celebrate those numbers, is that good enough? I think in 2017, we ought to be able to average 250 in Sunday school, and we ought to be able to average over 300 in worship. That's doable for us. And I'm convinced that if we'll join God in what He wants done, that He will bless, and we can achieve those kinds of numbers and beyond. I want to encourage you this morning to make a commitment to join God in what He wants done in your own heart and life, as well as in the life of our church family. Make a commitment today to live a healthier life spiritually this year. Yeah, and probably physically too. But don't neglect your spiritual health. Make that commitment to fulfill these imperatives for a healthy life. And maybe for some of you, in order to do that, it has to start by giving your life to Jesus, to let Him take control of your life, because you've never been willing to do that. You've been trying to make it on your own, and that's not working out so good. I can't think of a better way to start the brand new year than to say, Jesus, I'm giving up on this life, doing it my way, and I want You to take control. To let Jesus forgive you of your sin, cleanse you of all that unrighteousness, and put a brand new heart in you, and empower you to fulfill what God has planned for you. If that's you this morning, then I want to lead you in a prayer, making that commitment to Jesus, welcoming Him into your heart and life as Savior and Lord. Let's join together in prayer. If you need to make that commitment to Jesus, just say this prayer quietly along with me. Say, Dear God, we both know my life's not what You intended it to be. I've been trying to do everything myself. I made choices I'm not happy about. And they've led me in directions I never really wanted to go. God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Jesus, I welcome You into my heart and life right now. I receive You as my Savior and Lord. Fill me with Your Spirit as You cleanse me from all my sin. I commit to following You wherever You lead me in this new year, to fulfill what You have planned for me this year. Thank You for hearing and answering my prayer in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for all of us as we begin this new year, that God, we will let You write Your story in each new day's page, and that we'll fulfill these imperatives to living a healthier and happier life in 2017. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, making that commitment to Jesus, we'd like to celebrate that with you. As we sing this next song, it's an opportunity for you to respond to how God is speaking to you and how He is working in your heart and life. And if you prayed that prayer, I would encourage you just to step out and come and meet me here at the front and say, "Pastor, I want you to know I prayed that prayer. I made that commitment to Jesus," and we'll join in celebrating that with you. I know that can be a little bit unnerving. So another option would be to just kind of tear off this portion of your bulletin that says response and check that box that says I'm making a first-time commitment to Christ, or maybe you're renewing that commitment. Put your name, address, and a phone number. Tear that off. Place that in the offering plate. We'll get that. I'll give you a call and just celebrate that commitment and share with you what God wants to do in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize, you know, I really need to be a part of a local church family. And I believe this is the church God wants me to be a part of. I want to be more than just an attender. I want to be a member of this family of faith. And as we sing this next song, it's your opportunity to express your desire to be a part of this church family. We would love for you to come and be a part of what God's doing here. As we stand and sing, I invite you to come.